I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Oh, we're going to have fun this hour with Daniel Golden. We always have fun with Daniel, and we get all kinds. I can't believe he has brought in at least 20 books. He's got 30 lists of all the books that came out in 2014 that you should read. And we're talking about holiday giving. I don't know about you, but I love to give books that are specifically purchased with a person in mind. So if you want a list for holiday giving, if you have suggestions, we would love to hear from you as well. All of us who give books, we are going to profit from this hour. Daniel is a regular guest on this program, and he really knows his books, and he is so much fun. Daniel Golden is proprietor of Boswell Book Company on Downer Avenue in Milwaukee. He's been in business for 2,083 days as of today. And we'll be welcoming phone calls for him. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Daniel, hello.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, always. Happy you outdid here. Yourself today. Look, we got lists galore. I got lists all over the place in front of me.
I apparently have a clutter issue. I'm working on in a new book that's out.
So. Well, I noticed that book because I have the very same thing. I cannot organize a darn thing. And one of the books, where is it?
It's the Marie Kondo's book, The Life Cleaning Magic of Tidying Up, right? That's
really good title.
It's amazing.
Japanese cleaning consultant.
Right. I listened to an interview with her from her editor because she's Japanese, and she basically turns it all around. And most of the times when you organize, you get rid of the things you don't use anymore. And
right.
In this case, you fall in love with, you keep the things you really love that bring you joy. So it does involve a lot of intense analysis and putting everything on the line in your life.
Ooh.
And going through everything. And there's even an order you have to do it in. Like you do the clothing first and then, you know, the papers and then the photos and things like that. One of my booksellers, Mel, was the first person in our store to discover it. And she's been an evangelist to change her life.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
It really, she is living proof. But this is happening all over the country. People are falling in love with that book. We just moved it to our impulse table. It was on a gift table because I just thought, who doesn't want this book? And it's
right.
So different from all the other kind of jokey things that are there. But it's a beautiful little package, like a Takashimaya box or something.
Well, and I save all these things that, you know, I have Aunt Margaret's jacket that's from Carson Perry Scott in Chicago that's at least 60 years old, and I still wear it, mom's sweaters. And who else in the family would have saved all of Uncle Tom's mementos? I mean, I'm the only person on earth who remembers him now. I save all of that, all of it. So I need this book.
You know, it's funny that you should say that. We were just talking about I was talking to one of my customers who bought a couple of copies, and she was talking about how she feels like she's the person who keeps all the memories of everybody. But one of the things she said was, say you have a photo collection, do you have – maybe you have five memories of the person instead of a
That makes sense.
Memories.
Right. That's a very good idea. All right. Well, that takes care of my Christmas present to myself. And it's titled The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. Great. I noticed Chris Hadfield, we had a great time with you. Chris, and we were at Boswell about a month ago, and I'm glad his book is on the list because it is his Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. It's a great book.
It's a wonderful book. And you know what? You Are Here is more – we have both of them, and we've been selling both of them. They delayed the paperback on his memoir of sorts. But I love the way he – even with that, he thinks about everything so cogently. And he said, you know, I wanted a picture book, but I didn't want it to be a gift book. I wanted it to be something that anybody could afford that would be really reasonably priced. And they did an amazing job. And it's a picture book that's printed in the United States, which is very – I will say, sadly, a little rare.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. He approaches the world. Everything has to, you know, he's thinking ahead about everything that's going to take place.
I think when you go into space, you have to be on the ball.
That was the truest word I've heard spoken all day long. If you go into space, you have to be on the ball. I like that one. Put it up in the bookstore.
Yeah, not I'm a little seat of your pants for astronaut work.
Oh, that's good. All right, you do the fiction for me because I never get to fiction. Darn it. You know, I read a couple things that you recommended, actually, which I enjoyed. But it's nonfiction because of the nature of what we do. So give us terrific fiction.
One of the things that we find nowadays is that at this time of year, it all sort of comes together. The books that we – there are books that got good reviews and there are books that got amazing reviews. And then it really isn't till the end of the year that you start seeing the trends. And so one of the things it's been selling since spring, but it's exploded. The Anthony Doerr book, All the Light We Cannot See, is now clearly the literary
– Really?
Commercial – you know, the literary book with commercial legs. It's,
yeah.
I don't know what it's doing in other markets, but in the independent market – unless somebody is the most amazing hand seller ever or has a regional hitch, you know, that somebody from Cleveland has a novel about Cleveland or something like that. It is the book. And it is a World War II story from two perspectives, a German soldier, a blind young woman, alternating chapters. Oh. They eventually meet. The key is he's a wonderful writer. And what I love about this book, it is a lesson to publishers about having faith in the authors that they really love. Mm-hmm. Because Anthony Doerr has been published by Scribner for many books. They published his short stories when other publishers say, we don't do short stories. They did his novels that didn't sell that well. They sent him on tour. He came to not to Boswell, but to Schwartz when Schwartz was in business. And this is the book. They got this book many years in the making, and boy, has it exploded.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I think one of the secrets to accessibility, because we're always looking for that literary book that's also accessible. Many of us, I like a challenge, but I understand not everybody in the world wants a challenge with every book.
Right.
And the chapters are very short. Hmm. So it's sort of like – it's sort of like a literary book that used a lesson from something like The Da Vinci Code.
Mm-hmm.
A fascinating book that people just love. One of the things that we have found, there was definitely a lot of war fiction out. And Phil Clay's Redeployment has certainly come to the fore. It won the National Book Award. It's one of the top five novels of the year in New York Times. It's interesting because people will say, well, this was obviously one of the books of the year. But when the reviews came out in February, it was like, oh, war novel about Afghanistan, Iraq. You sort of – if you're not tuned in, you kind of bleep over it and go to the next review. And now you can't ignore it. And now it's on my pile, which it wasn't before. But war is definitely a subject that's – people are – writing about in a very good way. They always have.
Right. Tim O'Brien, he had some
video. Absolutely. And even things that we as Americans aren't really aware of. So, for example, the Man Booker Prize this year was The Narrow Road to the Deep North by Richard Flanagan, which is about the Australian POWs in Japan. A beautiful book, harrowing, tough read, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but definitely well worth it. We were talking about, it's not a huge year for short stories. There have been some years where short stories were the thing. Redeployment is certainly getting attention. And it's really great to see one of Wisconsin's used to be owned, but still in our hearts, Lori Moore, whose Bark got wonderful reviews, a couple of mixed reviews, which I think were a little tough because I don't think she'd ever gotten a mixed review before.
Huh.
But now to see it on the Wall Street Journal best of the Eurometer where they tabulate all the best of lists,
uh-huh.
and it's shown up in about five. And it's a wonderful book, and I love puns, and I love the double. So the hardcover book had the bark of a tree, and the paperback book used the bark of a dog, and I just thought that was hilarious. It doesn't really take much to amuse me.
That's what we love about you. But you amuse us as well, too. You do. What about these lists? Is there one that you go – I always read them, too, because I love books as well. But do you think that one is really terrific and the others you can kind of ignore?
Well, it's sort of like awards. It depends every year because you don't really know who's putting the list together.
Right.
So
right.
Sometimes a newspaper list or a magazine list or a website list might be an aggregate of several different people. And sometimes it's really just the opinion of one person. Now, the Journal Sentinel just did their lists of the – and they were very blunt about it. They're like, this is Jim Higgins' favorite. This is Mike Fisher's favorite. This is Carol Bowerman's favorite. And that's terrific. And they're really great lists, especially because I read like five of the books on them. But I check off,
Right.
Two checks. One for you read it and one for I'm going to read it. Mm-hmm. But that list is ridiculous because, of course, it's so large. But it's tough. One of the things that I've noticed over the years is not so much which list is good and which list is bad, but just how many more there are.
Right,
and I don't
right.
know if this is the internet because it's very shareable. So it's something that people like on Facebook and retweet on Twitter. I'm positive that's what it is. It's something that travels really well. The New York Times, I think I might have repeated myself, but hopefully nobody remembers this. The New York Times used to do a best of the year and then their notable books.
Notable
of the year.
100.
And they, about a number of years ago, they changed the way they did it. So they staged it. So the notable books of the year went to exactly 100, and the New York Times and the best books of the year went to exactly 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you remember this. It used to be somewhere between 7 and 12. It was much more nonfiction heavy. And they said it's going to be 10 books, it's going to be 5 fiction poetry, 5 nonfiction. And the year after they did it, the sales exploded.
Really?
It was really,
really
a big difference.
Isn't that interesting?
So we chase a good trend. So we've got the Washington Post top 10 up. I just put the Wall Street Journal up. I wrote up the Shelf Awareness, which is a very popular newsletter for booksellers, but they also have one for customers. So anybody can sign up for the Shelf Awareness newsletter. They're really smart reviewers, but it's definitely from a bookseller perspective. So especially if you don't have a bookstore in town and you want something different from a website, you get a lot of bookseller vibe from it. So they had their list of their top. Now, one of the things that drives me crazy, I'm like fiction, nonfiction, kids' books, but, top 10 cookbooks, top 10 sports books. I get it if you're a specialty magazine, but, when it starts being 60, 70 books, my eyes glaze over.
Yeah.
So what did I do? I threw out like 150 books in your lap and say, you're the best.
Yeah. Well, I like what you did, your newsletter, because you've got curious, delicious, humorous, milieu. I like these, because curious. There are a whole lot of books on your curious list that I would find kind of interesting, to put in the bathroom. 1,339 quite interesting facts to make your jaw drop. I love books like that.
I love them too. And Mel did a very nice job with that. And Jason Beyer has been putting things online, and he's been mixing up the list in a completely different way. So he'll say, these are books about elsewhere. And he'll have a mix of fiction and memoir and travel and things like that. This is a book about, he'll have a whole bunch of books that are speculative in some way. But it could be real speculation. It could be science fiction. So that's been a lot of fun. And I think it kind of duplicates the browsing experience in a bookstore. There are these set categories along the wall, and then you're trying to make up all different kinds of new categories in the middle of the store on all your tables.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a lot of fun. I have a weakness for those. I call them Uncle John's bathroom reader kind of books, like the one you mentioned.
Right.
What If is another one by Randall Munroe, where he does all these crazy, science experiments and takes them to the nth level. That's been very popular and a big bestseller as well. He has a big blog. I'm a particular fan of a crazy book called American Cornball by Christopher Miller, which is about – it's an encyclopedia – 500 pages, and believe it or not, I'm on page 400 now.
Woo!
I'm reading it in order, which you're not supposed to do, about all the things that used to be funny that are no longer funny. So,
well, should they be funny again?
Well, no, not some. So there's everything he does. He really has a cutoff date of 1966. So there's one Batman episode from 68 that he includes about amnesia, which we thought was hilarious. radio shorts, old New Yorker cartoons in men's magazines, comic strips, silent movies, old films. And this man is crazed, obsessive. And it's everything. There's many different reasons why things aren't funny anymore. Some things we just don't have.
Uh-huh.
Outhouses, boarding houses. Some things are, let's be blunt, the people making the humor were white and they were men. And so there was some racism and sexism in a lot of these things. And classicism and weightism and, things.
Right.
And interestingly enough, things go in and out of vogue as to what's acceptable. what's wonderful about humor, somebody said this to me, is it is the line that we draw of acceptability. Mm. And, you know, we know at any particular time what's inside the line and what's outside the line. Right. It's not always the same thing. I come from a, you know, I was grew up in the 60s. I was a little adolescent in the early 70s. And we told a lot of dead baby jokes. And they
did?
I didn't tell them. Actually, my friend Stephen did.
Dead baby jokes?
They were really popular.
They were. I missed that. They were. Yeah. Katie says they were. I missed all of those.
Completely inappropriate now.
Right.
But I was 11. Forgive me.
It's all right. It's okay. I don't want to judge this. It's okay.
And I'm okay. Yeah, I just want to say I didn't tell them and I didn't think they were funny. So.
All right. We had a lot of phone calls. We need to take a few of them. And I do want to tell you that you should have paper and pen in hand, but we're also going to have a list, right, KP, of all that gets mentioned. Daniel came. I have so many lists that Daniel gave me, you wouldn't believe it. So, but he has narrowed down all kinds of books, nonfiction, historical adventure, how-to books, that life-changing magic of tidying up. Got to get that. Fiction, just the right amount of plot, thrillers, modern westerns, unique structure, historical inspiration. Nice, like that. And short stories. So all of those we will put on our Facebook page. And you can go to Boswell Books, too, because he's got lists galore all the time.
Well, the whole idea of those lists is it's like a bookseller. You go in the store and say, I want this, I want that. And we need to have those things
absolutely
in our head.
Absolutely. It's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah, good way to organize it. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And let's go to Nancy in Milwaukee. Hi, Nancy.
Good afternoon. The book I'd like to recommend is one called Everything I Never Told You. The author's name is Celeste Nigg. Her last name is spelled with just two letters, N-G. Hmm. And the reason I like this book is that it's all about thwarted desires, identity, and tremendous family dynamics, which almost thrust people into spheres that they wouldn't have entered of their own accord. Hmm. It is just wonderful. I think it is required reading for every human being.
Oh, my goodness. Daniel,
you
know about
it. I read it before I came out. So it has been a real phenomenon. One of the things that's been really interesting is it's definitely been driven, at least in part, there's a lot of people who love the book, but it was the Amazon Book of the Year, actually.
Oh.
So they have really helped that book along. So it's a family drama, believe in Ohio, and mm-hmm. And plays off of a lot of themes that you're seeing in a number of books. The young girl, one of the daughters has died, and the other girl is trying to fill that role, not necessarily the way they want her to, or you know, she can't be exactly that other person. There's another interesting spin on the book is that it's a biracial family, and so they have those extra stresses on their relationship. They're in a small town. It's they're in Ohio, probably not that small a town, suburb, in the 70s, you know, when things were necessarily, you know, different. You know, they were definitely odd ducks in the mm-hmm. town. It's a beautiful book. It's very quiet. Mm. So it's been interesting to me how popular it has been because it's a quiet book. But you know, I'm all for quiet. It's like if I can.
No, you're not.
No, in reading.
Oh, in reading you are. Okay.
I have my whole thing, books with no plot. I mean, how quiet can you be? Novels with no plot.
Thank you very much. Great. Nicely recommended, Nancy. Scott in La Crosse. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Scott.
I'm told KP. I'm just not too far into this, but it's one that I am enjoying immensely. It's called On the Road with Janis Joplin, and it's written by a guy named John Byrne Cook, who started out assisting with a documentary filmmaker, making a film about the Monterey Pop Festival. Mm-hmm. And wound up being so amazed by seeing Big Brother and the Holding Company and Janis Joplin's amazing performance at the festival that he winds up becoming her road manager from, as I say, 67 until her untimely death.
Mm-hmm.
Got good writing. I like his style, and I think would be a good recommendation.
Thanks, Scott. You have some other celebrity books you brought.
I did. I was jumping from the music things first, I my head is spinning, you know, from great. It's so interesting how we are so obsessed with music of that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the books wind up, you know, their lives kind of go into both memoir and into history and into fiction. I was thinking of the Amy Poehler, you know, in terms of celebrity, but I was also thinking of one of the most popular, you know, on the bestometer, as I call it, books is A Brief History of Seven Killings by Marlon James, which is actually inspired by the life of Bob Marley. And so that I was thinking of that as well. Yeah, we were talking about Amy Poehler's book and also Lena Dunham's book in terms of celebrity memoirs more, and how they came out about the same time. And the books are really so different in every way. They're both selling very well, but Lena Dunham's is definitely more of trying to kind of be in that sort of earnest girl's kind of way, a philosophical inquiry of feminism today. And Amy Poehler is definitely in the Tina Fey mold of humorous essays. But I want everybody to go in a bookstore or any other store and pick up both books, because it almost seems like one
is remarkable. I know.
Three times the weight of the other. They did very different packaging. And you can see, you know, we booksellers are always fighting for the book, like the physical book itself. And I have to say, whoever put together the Amy Poehler Yes Please, kudos.
It's beautifully done.
Yeah.
Beautifully done. And my famous people in history would, of course, be the Roosevelts.
You are
speaking of the
Roosevelts. You are having a very good year between that and World War I.
Absolutely. Like, but I really liked, and maybe because I loved the interview with Jeffrey Ward, who wrote Ken Burns' documentary series and his book, The Roosevelts in Intimate History. A lot of pictures, but it's really beautiful. Did it make it one of the lists? Was it there?
You know,
no?
I'm not.
No, it didn't?
It isn't. I'm sure it made 10 lists, actually. But one of these things, we saw this with the Kennedy assassination history, commemorative, is that there's so many that they sort of cancel each other out. Mm-hmm. Like, there were just truckloads of, you could have had said, this year, I'm only going to do books about the Roosevelts.
Really?
For 20, and you might have gotten through like 4 or 5 months. but there have been some really good histories. You know, one of the things that it's just like fiction in that you have to, in terms of now when we're really thinking, what can we sell? What's the best and what can we sell? They're sort of like intersecting circles in the old set theory. And so you have these sort of, right now, everybody's buying Boys in the Boat. Everybody's buying Unbroken. For the last 5 years,
I'll
everyone's
bet
buying
they
Unbroken.
Are. Right.
And so you're kind of,
why are they buying Unbroken for the last 5 years? I haven't understood that.
Because they haven't hit all billions of people.
It's incredible.
Everybody wants 5 copies. I don't know. But it's true that film always uncovers a reader that you simply won't get otherwise. And one of the things, if you look at the bestseller lists for, you know, not separated out by category, but like just a bestseller list of things in order, you will see tons of movie stuff, both things like Unbroken, things like Wild, but also on the young adult side, the John Green, the Gail Forman, and a lot of that is being Veronica Roth, Suzanne Collins, of course, that's all being driven by film release, because no matter how hard the book industry tries, ebook, physical book, whatever, they will never have the penetration of film. There will never be as much money there. So in a nice way, it unlocks another reader.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so
which
who can argue with that?
Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
So there are two history books that people are very excited about that are in that sort of like, what am I going to do? I read Boys in the Boat. I read Unbroken. One just exploded. It's Deep Down Dark by Hector Tobar about the Chilean miners. That's a very recent history, but really just at the same quality. I think it was just chosen by Ann Patchett for a big book club. And we have a really great read on that. And then the other book is Gary Crist's Empire of Sin, Sex, Jazz, Murder, and the Battle for Modern New Orleans. Mm-hmm. That was on the Washington Post Best of the Year. Our buyer, Jason, really liked it and said it's one of Crist's best books. And I think people haven't discovered Gary Crist. He's sort of in that Eric Larson mode. The books look a little like Eric Larson books. And, you know, if you haven't read him, you should, and you like that sort of thing, you should jump right in.
You should go read it. All right. Daniel Golden is our guest, and we're talking about holiday giving books, or giving books at any time of the year. He's proprietor of Boswell Books. He has made a list for us. He's got all kinds of lists with him, and you can, if you go to the store and get a lot of books, you can get on their newsletter, too. The other thing that I really want to compliment Daniel for is that he just keeps all of these conversations alive because he brings so many people to Milwaukee, and he must just work hour after hour after hour after hour, not only reading the books but arranging all of these events, and I appreciate them, and I know many people do. Thank you, Daniel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's great. Our phone number is 800. Scott, thanks for your call. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. And we'll have Daniel's list on our Facebook page in a little while. Give us a little while, please. And that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll go to more phone calls in just one moment. But you were saying that it's interesting that we always talk every year about what a theme seems to be. Death and aging are the themes this year? What's that all about?
I don't know. I mean, part of it is that those books just happened to come out. And it's not like we had a Katie Butler book last year that did very well. But, you know, somebody looked at our bestseller list and our number one book was Being Mortal by Atul Gawande, which is a huge national bestseller. But for us, it's just been a runaway with people buying the books in multiples.
Really?
He is a doctor. This is his he's had wonderful books before. The Checklist was also a best-selling book. But this has been of a level, and it's so interesting because the publisher said that to us. I said, we know this is his fourth book. This is going to be the book that explodes with him. And it is. It's medicine and what matters at the end about having a better quality of life.
Oh, right.
And people are very interested in it. Older people are very interested in it. And then, of course, the other book that's really exploded is Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant by Ross Chast. It's a book that – it's a graphic memoir that came out in the spring. One of those weird things about bestseller lists, it was on the graphic bestseller list, so you couldn't see it in the Times because they don't print the graphic list. But now that it's showing up on all sorts of best of the year books, including the New York Times, and people, it's so interesting talking to people. They're like, oh, that was a dope book. I loved it. And just anybody who is caring for an aging parent is just – because she's so – this is the key on these things. There's such honesty that you don't get all the time. And, you know, sometimes that's just the kind of thing you need in a gift.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So even in fiction, you're seeing it. Like the new Richard Ford, Let Me Be Frank With You. It's the same character from The Sports Writer. He's now in his late 60s. And it's a series of connected novellas. But everybody is – you know, had health problems. He's facing death in a lot of different ways. It's a very funny book, but also, and that's the thing is, you know, you need some laughter in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Let's go to Sue in Madison. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks for this opportunity. I have fallen in love with Marilynne Robinson and recently read Lily, her latest. And it inspired me to go back and read both Gilead and Home again, and that's my recommendation.
Oh, thanks. What a wonderful yes! You are among many of the huge Marilynne Robinson fans. The key that we learned in this book, which I did not know before, is that her very first book in the 70s, Housekeeping, is also connected to this series. And I never knew that. I thought it was a completely different set of people, but it's not. So you have to go back and read Housekeeping, which some people say is their favorite. But Lila is definitely getting rave reviews and on a lot of best of. So it's shortlisted for the National Book Award. And, you know, it's all over the place and huge fans. And, you know, definitely in that sort of somebody said there's a battle for the Iowa Book of the Year, and Marilynne Robinson won it, but Jane Smiley's got an ace up her sleeve that her book Some Luck is the first in a trilogy, so she'll have another book next year, whereas Marilynne Robinson will not have another book next year. She takes a lot longer to write.
Thank you so much, Sue, for the call. It's a different book, similar subject, but I was amazed how much interest there was in this. Ours was the interview we did, Dodging Extinction, Anthony Baranski. who's, you know, he studied all of this. He really knew what he was talking about. He's been all over the world on this. But people were just responding to that book like crazy. And you have an Elizabeth Colbert.
The Elizabeth Colbert, the sixth extinction, right?
Right? Yeah.
I think people are very interested in those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thinking about climate change, thinking about technology, thinking about as I've heard people say, you know, the race, because on one hand, the environment's changing a lot in many different ways. But on the other hand, we have more tools to affect change to protect species as well. So I'm glad to hear that was so popular. That's on my list now.
Yeah, it was good. And then I heard on the news this morning that there were only 5 northern white rhinos left in the world, and one died today at the San Diego Zoo. So there are 4 left now, and it's very hard to get more. You know, and you hear those stories, and you just stop and think, oh, no, there are only 4 left.
Yeah, and it's so true. But on the other hand, if we had a species of some sort of animal that was, say, endemic to Metro Milwaukee or Madison or Green Bay, and we said, well, the only way to save it is to pull all the people out and revert the land to its native state, you know, it's hard to
– right.
It's a more complicated issue
Very.
Than saying, oh, there's 4 left. We have to save them. And
right.
Here's all the things we have to do. You know,
yeah. You're right. Pat in Duluth. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to recommend a book by Robert Michael Pyle, and the title is Mariposa Road. And Mariposa means butterfly in Spanish. And this is a man who's known within the butterfly circles. What he did is what birders have done now. He did a butterfly big year, and that means that he went through all 50 states in 1 year to record the number of butterfly species he could accurately identify. And it's a fairly big book, but it's so nice to read in the winter with a field guide. And Wisconsin is in there because he traveled through the state of Wisconsin. So I highly recommend that book, and you'll learn a lot about butterflies and plants. And he's a very nice writer. So I'd like to recommend that book.
Great. Thanks, Pat. Thanks very much for the call. Some of the other ones that caught my eye on your newsletter. This is The World, From London to Hong Kong. You will delight in this charming journey through the world's great cities. That sounds like fun.
It's a lovely book.
Is it?
It is. People of a certain age will remember the original books. This is London. This is Paris. Oh. This is Texas. They were hardcover books, and some people got them as gifts and owned them. I went to my local library, and I know exactly where they were on the shelf.
Oh, and, Daniel.
And they basically take – and they started reissuing them, but this is sort of a very special compendium because it's 17 of those books together, $2 book. And I just love – it's a very simple style. Obviously, they abridge them a little. Maybe there's inappropriate content or dated content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I love the illustrations. They have almost a collage-y quality of them. Remind me a little of Lois Hayland. So, mm-hmm. But they're not collages. So
right. Now, what about these very complicated plots? Those are good to read at times, aren't they? You just get real and you get really involved in the book.
Well, I guess they are for me. I love multiple storylines. The more storylines, the better. Lots
like
of characters. My very favorite book from last year, The Illusion of Separateness by Simon Van Boy. We still sell like crazy.
Really?
And it's a wonderful holiday story because it has an inspirational heart. It is not it's got a wonderful message. It's about two people who meet each other on the battlefield in World War II and what happens when one of them doesn't kill the other and all the fallout
ooh.
Over the next 50 years.
Ooh.
So that's a wonderful book. And then this year, my novel of the year, I guess I have to vote on something, is Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel. And that is a story of – it's a post-apocalyptic story for people who don't like post-apocalyptic stories. So the world has been wiped out by – basically civilization's been pretty much wiped out by a virulent flu strain. And 20 years later, we're following a bus of people who are Shakespearean actors and –
Whoa.
But there's no tech. There's no electricity. There's no computer. There's no
–
everything's been destroyed because there was nobody – when the flu broke out, it was so violent and so quick to die, that everybody – the people – most people died and everybody else went into hiding, so we couldn't have fire protection. So the fire started breaking out everywhere. We couldn't have police protection. The internet went down. The hospitals had to close, that kind of thing. And once you go to a certain extent, if that happens for years and years, you're stuck. And so here we have this bus traveling around the Midwest, actually, Michigan and things, and comes across this town where there is a religious cult in running the town. But the thing that happens is this young woman, who is a young girl at the time of the flu, realizes that the cult leader has a comic book that she also owns. And it's something nobody has.
Comic book.
A little comic book. And it is about art. It is about Shakespeare. It is about the things that we take for granted in life. It's just beautiful. And it jumps from character to character to character. It's all over the place. And it's definitely like a puzzle. And I didn't – you know, one doesn't know. You like read these things in isolation if you read them early. And we had hosted Emily St. John Mandel for her last book. And it was a pretty quiet affair. Mm-hmm. Wonderful read from one of our booksellers. But, you know, it wasn't – she didn't make best of lists. And now she's shortlisted for the National Book Award.
Oh my.
She's top 10 Washington Post.
You never know.
Number one for Entertainment Weekly.
And wow.
One of the things, though, that's so interesting about the lives we lead now, that we're so interconnected and we see so much, is in the past, we had much fewer options for people's critical taste. And, for example, someone like me, especially if I wasn't working in a bookstore, I might have only read the Times. I might have Times and Journal Sentinel. And if I had read the New York Times, I would have thought the book was not very good because the Daily Review was really bad and the Sunday Review was mixed. Now, fortunately, Mike Fisher in the Journal Sentinel loved the book. It's on his top 10 of the year too. Huh. So hooray. But yeah, this has been – I just had a friend email me back after I recommended him. He said I stayed up all night. So,
reading it. Yeah. It's Station 11.
Station 11. So that's my lots of too much plot to keep track of. And then I also have my not enough
plots.
No plots at all. Nope. Nothing happens. And those are very – Kathleen, those are very hard to sell. And
with no plots.
Well, no plots.
All right. So you sell one to us right now.
Well, I've got –
Sell us a no plot.
All right. I've got two. Joshua Ferris was a book that came out in the spring, To Rise Again at a Decent Hour. It's about a dentist who has this crisis where he thinks someone's stealing his identity, and then it turns out that it's actually the secret organization. So the point is, it was originally supposed to have a plot. It was supposed to be part of a thriller, and he was just one character.
Yeah.
But it didn't work, so he stripped it all away. Tough book to sell. We had but then Man Booker first – you know, this is the Americans were qualified for the Man Booker first time, and he was a shortlister. And he also just won the Dylan Thomas Prize, which is a nice – let me just say, as I said, there's a lot of best of lists. There are a lot of prizes. This is a pretty good prize. The book that I'm really excited about that has nothing – that nothing really happens in it right now is a book called All My Puny Sorrows by Miriam Taves. It's also very difficult to sell – at first glance. So it is a woman whose father has committed suicide about 10 years ago, and now she's struggling with a sister who has deep depression. Her sister turns out to be a lot more successful than she is. She's a musician. She has a wonderful husband, whereas our narrator writes these children's books that don't do very well and is divorced and, you know, is not much of a life.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really matter. And so her sister's in deep depression and wants to commit suicide as well. And so she's at this dilemma that her sister wants her to take her to Switzerland for assisted suicide. That's basically the book. It is completely autobiographical. And she wrote actually about her father's suicide in memoir. But this is the way she writes. So somebody, you know, it's so much truth in it, but because she writes this as a novel, she doesn't have to get stuck in the details, and she can be even more honest.
Mm.
And I do really love that. And it is such a honest book. It's so funny. It's so funny. And all I could think of was not for somebody it's such a tough thing to deal with. But for somebody who's had it in their life, like somebody close to them who's struggling with what to do, I could think – I can't think of a better gift than giving
really?
This book. And I've talked to people, like people who came to the store who've talked to me about it, one woman whose father committed suicide.
Mm.
And because what what can I say as a person? I can't say anything unless I've been through it.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was amazing. Mm. It did win. She's Canadian, so, you know, prizes. You know, you can't win the American prizes as easily. But though Emily St. John Mandel is also a dual citizenship, Taves won the Rogers Writers Trust Fiction Prize. There's three big prizes in Canada and was shortlisted for the Giller. So it's the Rogers Writers Trust is not the best of the three, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. All right, more phone calls in a moment. Daniel Golden is our guest. It's Holiday Giving Show is what you're listening to on the Ideas Network, and we're welcoming phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Daniel has compiled a list for us, and we're very thankful for that. And it will be on our Facebook page, and he'll link to his store as well, because he's got even more lists. He's got newsletter lists. He's got the list that he put together. He's got the Washington Post. He's got the Wall Street Journal. He's got a lot of lists. We'll talk more in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Daniel Golden, the proprietor of the wonderful Boswell Books in Milwaukee, is our guest. And we go back to phone calls. Mary in Eau Claire. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I wanted to recommend actually a series, since you were just talking about Isu's depression. The first one in this English detective series is called The Black Dog, referring to depression, that having been Winston Churchill's favorite phrase for it.
Mm.
It's set in the Peak Country, Derbyshire, in the middle of England. And I really love it. There's two main protagonists, two detectives, and most of the time they don't get along. And each of them has really flawed, well, great strengths and great flaws in their characters. And, they actually make mistakes.
Is it new, Mary?
What?
Is it a new book?
No, he's written a series of, I've gotten hooked, I don't know, 14 or so.
Oh, my goodness.
It's Ben Cooper and Diane Fry series.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is The Black Dog.
Okay.
And his descriptions of the landscape in this Peak District are so wonderful. Mm. I mean, that becomes a character in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Great. Do you know it, Daniel?
I don't know it. I'm looking up now. It's wonderful. One of the great things about mysteries are, there's so many great things about mysteries. They're really exciting plots. But they also build character so well, and we get to follow them from person to person. And you get to see the detectives or the protagonists and all their flaws, which is really wonderful.
Yeah.
They also do a really great job with a sense of place. We were just talking about how maybe this is it. But we were trying to find like a mystery, like what's the new mystery writer that we want to recommend? What's the new thriller book that I can recommend to somebody? I actually decided earlier today that I was Carol Behrman's one of her top 10 was I Am Pilgrim by Terry Hayes, which has been selling really well. And I said, you know what? Because we can't do the cliche. If everybody knows people who read mysteries and thrillers, they read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to keep finding new stuff.
Something
for them.
New, right.
So I'm going with that. I trust Carol.
Okay. And you wanted to mention a book about Marshall Field. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
mentioned Carson's Perry Scott. How could I? Yeah. So one of the other things we were talking about is we need – because people come in the store and they're looking for all different kinds of things. And what we felt we had a hole in was sort of literary, like historical novel – not too literary, like plot-driven, a little juicy,
mm-hmm.
but well-written, well-researched. And this sort of fell in our lap. And it's called What the Lady Wants by Renee Rosen. And the funny thing was, I'm not the buyer of the store. So everything's new to me as I see it. And I was sitting at a rep night where we have these reps presenting book after book after book. And they started talking about this novel about Marshall Field's 30-year affair. I'm like, I collect department store paraphernalia. Why don't I know about this? So, I'm a little over the top on this sort of thing. But it turns out that every Milwaukeeans, we all, we had Mayfair for 50 years. We had, so many people went to Chicago to the Walnut Room. And,
sure,
and so many, there's so
absolutely.
Much,
the
you know,
Christmas
the
tree.
Bush yeah. Noel and the, so this is so much fun. It's from the fire. The Great Fire, through The White City. Most of the characters are real. She made up a few, but you can tell she did tons of research. And it's fun. It's a really fun book. Jane and I have been having such good time selling it.
Good,
so.
Good. All right, good. And the name is?
What the Lady Wants. What? It comes from Give the Lady What She Wants, which is what Marshall Field said. And yes, if people watch the Selfridge series on PBS, he's in the book for 25 years.
Good. That sounds like fun. Jerry in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Jerry.
How are you, Kathleen?
Fine, Jerry. How are you?
Good. You and Dan. Listen, I called to say that, where should I start? First of all, I think you both are just fantastic.
Thanks, Jerry.
I look forward to Dan on radio. I just happened to catch you today on radio. I think he should be booked once a month.
I couldn't.
He should.
You encourage all of us. You encourage me, certainly, to read. Kathleen, you do it every day. Kathleen, you're probably the smartest woman I've ever known. I don't know you, but I mean, in that regard, and I know it's because of your reading. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, you know, Milwaukee is extremely lucky to have you both. I hope it's appreciated because, again, Dan, you're fantastic, you know?
He is, I agree.
And very eclectic, as is Kathleen. And I just want you both to know that, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, Jerry, thank you. Oh, Daniel.
I'm at a loss for words.
That was very nice.
Thank you, sir.
People have been really nice today. Thanks, Jerry, very much. But it is true. I mean, I can sing your praises all the time, and you should be on once a month because of what you do. Seriously.
For sure.
Oh, stop. You can take praise every now and then.
Thank you.
And you should get some. Thank you, Jerry, and I'm glad you called. That's terrific. John in Middleton. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'd like to plug a very funny corporate humor book called The Non-Product Consolidation Operation.
It's got a great title.
Oh, it's a great title. And it's funny because I wrote it.
Oh, John.
And my goal is to make someone laugh every day, so as long as they pick up this book, they'll get a laugh out of it.
All right, where can they find it, John?
Middleton Library is probably the best place to go.
Oh.
I'm probably sure there's different places online that have it as well.
So. Give us the title again.
Yeah, well, it's self-published. It was too short to be published by a publisher.
Oh.
It's only a four-hour read.
Okay.
But I guarantee a lot of laughs.
Thank you, John.
Well, I'm going to say is if every author who wrote a book calls you in today, Kathleen, you'll be on the phone. You'll be on the air till 2019.
I think you're right. It's amazing how many books there are.
And they're so much easier to get. And you know, that's the thing. It's like, it isn't, you know, people will find it. They'll find his book somewhere.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Yeah. Thanks for your call. Yeah. You know, I kind of like what Michael Lewis does, too. I did read Flash Boys this year, and we had him on, and it was just this intriguing story. He can find these really complicated Wall Street things and get inside the characters and unlikely characters and make you understand exactly what's going on by the end of them on so many topics, too. I think he's fairly accomplished.
One of the things that's so interesting about Michael Lewis is you realize how difficult it is to write a good book because he has to find the good topic.
Right.
He has to write about it in a good way. I read his parenting book, which was pretty good. You know,
so oh, it's like, really?
He had a book about being a father.
Oh, I didn't even
years
know that.
Ago. Oh. So it wasn't, let me just say, the writing was great. There's a lot of, he's writing things that aren't being written about in the way that he writes them, you know.
Right.
So that's the
right.
thing. There's plenty of people writing these kind of corporate stories or the sports stories,
right?
And there's plenty of people who write as well as him. But he finds a
Absolutely.
Good story and he writes it really well.
Absolutely, that's yeah, cool. He does. Did we give enough children's books? We have about a minute left.
Oh well, I was just talking to a wonderful children's book writer who is in the store today, Lisa Mosier. I'm looking forward to her next book about rhymes about – I can't say. I don't want to give anything away. But she has wonderful picture books. You should definitely check them out. And we were both talking about how much we love this wordless picture book called The Farmer and the Clown by Marla Frazee. It is – wordless is scary to people because they want to read to their kid, but the idea of all the conversations you can have with a really great wordless picture book sparks a lot of conversation.
Right.
And it's a very old-fashioned, almost Curious George-like illustrations of an old farmer who watches a train go by and a little clown falls off the back, and it's a little boy clown. And he takes the little boy clown home and washes and cleans him up, and they teach each other all kinds of different things. Maybe it might be milking cows. It might be juggling. You have to decide who teaches what to whom.
Aww.
And finds the little clown's home, returns him to the clown family at the circus. And but it has a little twist ending. So when somebody else falls off the train afterwards, it's a really lovely book.
Aww.
And she's just such a wonderful storyteller. And her stories are so personal. And they're actually – they have – her life is in the story. And she's not a farmer or a clown. So you'll have to figure out how.
Aww.
So –
always a pleasure, Daniel.
Thank you
so much. I'll be in and do some shopping next week, if not before. and we should tell people that you go to Boswell Books because you'll get lots of information there. And our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, all that Daniel has talked about today will be listed there for you.
I'll make sure I'll
holiday
clean it up.
Pleasure.
Clean it up a little, too.
It's pretty darn clean, I'd say.
Oh,
it's
thanks.
Looking good.
For sure.
Thanks, Daniel. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this program and for doing on-air production, too, taking your many phone calls. Thanks for listening, everybody. These are fun shows to do. We'll be with you again tomorrow.